Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Sometimes I know I talk fast, so sometimes I think I just like get even a little bit too far ahead of myself, which I'm used to talking faster, but I think sometimes I just like get a little too overzealous. So yeah, I don't know. I guess that's what happened there. Coming up, guys, the Celtics have been struggling of late, and we know the Cavs play at 3:30, so we do want to get into that here in just a second, just talking about like how much more enticing that maybe makes a potential trade given how the Celtics have played. But I thought Matt was good, and I thought he had some good stuff to say, Jake, just on the quarterback front for the Browns and, you know, whether or not it's replicable to do what the Commanders did, and how he basically alluded to the idea that, like, it's not that easy, you know what I mean? And I think that's kind of my bottom line is, it's nice to look at the Commanders and say it can happen, and I'm not saying that they should have, you know, they shouldn't try to do that, but I also think, like, again, each year the quarterback classes are so different, and the idea that you're just going to nail that quarterback and get the next Jaden Daniels is obviously a little bit of pie in the sky.
Well, yeah, but part of the thing I pulled away from Matt there was it's not that easy because of where the Commanders are, right? Like, they're in an NFC championship game, Spencer. They are one of the four teams left standing in the NFL. I'm not asking the Browns to be one of the four teams left standing in the NFL in 2025. I'd like you to be there by like 26, 27. That'd be if you could get there.
Or at least by the time the new stadium's being
Yeah, like if we're playing in the ground, if we're playing in the ground under a roof, it'd be nice that you could at least do something for me. But no, like I think that's part of it too is – The Commanders are taking this and running with it and taking it to a degree that nobody expected them to. I don't need the Browns to do that. I need the Browns to identify a quarterback that looks good and that I can bank on being here for more than 3 years.
Yeah. I do think the other thing you alluded to, though, is like if you pick the wrong quarterback, well, then that sets you back like 3 or 4 years. And then we're doing the same exact thing that they've been doing for, you know, decades, trying to find that right guy. So it's an interesting thread, or it's an interesting needle you're trying to thread here if you're the Browns, and we know it's not going to be that simple. I do think your point on what the expectations are is an interesting thing that we should explore a little bit later, because we asked it. He asked us, actually, like, you talking a quarterback away from the Super Bowl or a quarterback away from the playoffs? And we said playoffs. Is that the bar? Is that what people sort of, where people are going to set the expectation for next year? So something we'll circle back to. But as we said, Jake, Cavaliers coming up here in about 20 minutes. They're at home over at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse against the Suns. For some reason, I feel like this game every year is like the coldest day of the year. And there's always a Cavs game on it. Like, I remember a couple years ago, or maybe it was last year, there was a year where they played Brooklyn on, I think, MLK Day. And it must have been a couple years ago, because I think it was when Kyrie was with Brooklyn. And that game was like freezing cold and snowing, and it was like miserable weather. I remember it vividly. So I don't know what it is about MLK Day, but there's always some crazy-ass weather on MLK Day when there's a Cavs game going on. But, Jake, I think this is kind of a mad dash these next 2 weeks to the trade deadline. And we know there's been some rumors about the Cavs kind of sniffing around some players, most notably Cam Johnson from Brooklyn. I'm also looking, though, at the Celtics, who have struggled of late. They're 5-4 since the start of the year, and 3-4 in their last 7 games. Now, Joe Mazzulla's downplayed it and said, like, they're not worried. And I still do believe, like, yeah, Boston can play with anybody in this league. We know that. We saw that last year. But to their struggles, even though the Cavs are still playing good basketball, still winning games, all that, do their struggles make it even more enticing to potentially make a move? Because it does feel like there's an even larger window of opportunity, knowing that the Celtics might not be the same exact Celtics from a year ago, and they might maybe be a little more susceptible to getting beat this year.
I don't know that Boston changes anything for me.
Okay.
I don't know that anything that Boston does right now or how Boston feels changes how I go about what I want to do with my team. The only thing that I think changes a little bit is I'm sitting here listening to Kenny Atkinson tell me, Well, you know, yeah, those wings, they give us problems, right? Athletic wing gives us a problem. I'm like, well, Boston has two of those, and you're likely to see them in the playoffs. So that's the only thing that has me going, yeah, now I might make a trade. Now might be the time. Like, I think I'm to the point, like, more inclined to make a trade. I think I am pretty much at the bar of, no, let's make a trade. But, yeah, I don't know that Boston's on-the-court play is changing anything for me, unless you're telling me they're dropping out of the playoffs.
It's, I mean, it's probably the whole flip-the-switch thing with them, right? Like, that, yeah. Like, we're, like, and we know, we're familiar with that here in Cleveland because that's, what, I mean, notoriously, during the LeBron era, that was the thing. The Cavs would kind of coast through the regular season, and then they'd get closer to the playoffs, and they would flip that switch. And we kind of know the Celtics are a team that can flip the switch. That's probably, I think, what you're alluding to there is, like, Boston is still Boston. I know if you get them in the playoffs, you're going to get their best shot. And I agree with you. Maybe that does make it more of a reason why you should make a deal at the deadline. I just think what's so fascinating about this is, like, and I think you and I have both kind of toyed with this, because there is something to be said for, like, not disrupting the chemistry, especially on a small team like a basketball team. There's only, you know, 12 to 15 guys. This isn't like an NFL locker room. So you really don't want to mess with those vibes, the good juju, quote unquote, if things are going well. And if you're pulling somebody out or putting somebody in, you have to know that they're going to kind of mesh well. And so I toil with that every single day. But then I just think about, like, the opportunity that's in front of you and the fact that, yeah, you have a legitimate shot at chasing a title. And if you think that this move is going to make you better and make you less susceptible to the long wing teams like the Boston Celtics, maybe you do pull the trigger. But I don't know, like, what the right answer is sitting here today. And I do think these next couple weeks have to kind of become part of that evaluation to truly know what they should do.
I just think if you're sitting there as the Cavs right now and you decide, as my phone just topples onto the floor.
I was like, but, did you lose something there?
Yeah, no, don't need that. We'll leave that for the end of the segment. No, but, like, as you go through and you think about how your team is built right now and how you're going to make it through the playoffs, at some point, running 11 guys deep does not work, right? Like, I'd love if that was a playoff strategy. For most teams, that's just not the case. Because guess what? When Jason Tatum is playing 40 minutes a game.
Well, I think you're already seeing some of the remnants of that, right? Because, like, a guy like Isaac Okoro was shooting like 40% from three to start the season. He hurt his shoulder. Now he's suddenly reverted back to sort of the mean for him. And then, like, the same thing kind of applies to somebody like Dean Wade, right? And Sam Merrill's been struggling from outside right now. And if he's not making shots, he's going to fall out of the rotation anyway. So I think, to your point, like, yeah, you're kind of seeing some of these role players not play up to what they were early in the season. And so because of that, can they actually stay in Kenny Atkinson's rotation?
Right. And when you get to the playoffs, yeah, like 40 minutes of Jason Tatum can't get matched with 10 minutes of every guy off the bench. And then 30 minutes of Donovan Mitchell. Like, you need Donovan Mitchell in there for 35 plus to be able to rival the scoring. Like, you have to cut down the rotation. So I'm going to be saving vibes in the locker room for the idea that I have to keep Sam Merrill around or Isaac Okoro, who, if they keep playing again the way that they are, might not even be playing every day anyway. And when we get to the playoffs, certainly some of those guys are not going to be playing night in and night out, because you can't go 10, 11 deep. And even if they are playing night in and night out, it's not like they can be playing for 25 minutes. They're going to be barely in the game. And again, I would rather have pick me a Cam Johnson, make the contracts work, get a trade that makes it work. Give me Cam Johnson, who's going to be the guy 35 minutes a game in the starting rotation.
We will keep this conversation going because I think I have a point here on, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but it almost feels like the Cavs are vibe proof. Maybe not totally. Like, if you brought the wrong person in here, like, you know, a Jimmy Butler who could throw things off completely, yeah, like, that's not what you want. I'm not saying they're going after Jimmy Butler. He's not really a fit for what they want to do anyway. But
we're, like, getting Joel Embiid?
Joel Embiid, I mean,
media ropes are a problem, and you can't play back-to-backs.
That's true. Anyway, but I do almost feel like this team can almost be immune to a trade that's adding a player, and I'll explain why coming back, on top of the fact why I think, like, you got to have a little bit of LeBron in you if you're going to, given where this team is at right now. We'll talk about it. We'll get your calls on it, 216-474-992. On Twitter at @SpenceC2_ @VolnickJake as well. We are keeping things rolling on this MLK Day here on 92 Through the Fan.